The following is a presentation of the Cold Slither Podcast Network.
Episode of the Comic Book Chronicles Treasury Edition. I'm your host, Tim D-O-double-G.
Yay! We are back!
And we have a full house tonight. A full roundtable as we will get into reviews and our thoughts on this past weekend's Captain America Civil War movie. But first, let me introduce our panel of guests here. Thank you for the round of applause. We have with us the man behind the sound effects, at Agent_70 on Twitter.
What's up, everybody?
No applause for yourself.
We've got so many people.
Yes. We have also with us, at RoddyCat on Twitter.
Oh, Wakanda!
We have the CSPN Godfather himself, at Classic Materia on Twitter.
Thank you, thank you.
Make sure to go to the website, cspn.us, where you can find many, many podcasts, including Comic Book Chronicles podcast. We also have friend of the show and friend of the CSPN, William Bruce West here, at William Bruce West on Twitter, or William B. West on Twitter.
Hey, how's it going?
First time, right?
You've been on a couple times. First Treasury Edition, at least.
Yes.
Yeah, I think he was on when we bitched about Spider-Man 700, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. Many moons ago.
Well, that was a while ago.
That is a long
time. Career Spider-Man and everything.
Yeah.
Free. Make sure to go to his website, williambrucewest.com, and make sure to check out his weekly Friday post, West Week Ever. And we also have with us from the blackastronauts.com website, Aaron, a.k.a. at blackastronaut1 on Twitter.
What's going on? Happy to be around my fellow nerds, man. Ready to talk about this movie.
We welcome you.
We're going to get into it right now. So, of course, you should go to theclicknation.com where you can find previous episodes of the Treasury Edition, Comic Book Chronicles, Comic Book Reviews, and more.
Did we get Roddy in?
Yeah.
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
I did not forget anyone. I know it's a lot of people, but we,
exactly.
We got it. Mm-hmm. We got it.
Awesome.
Shout out to Mel, a.k.a. at Beauty_Jackson on Twitter from the Good and Terrible Show. She was going to be with us tonight, but she was feeling a little under the weather, so we'll hold down the fort for her and make sure we argue enough in her stead. All right, so at least the first topic for Civil War is, I'm just going to go around and get everyone's...
Wait, hold on. Let me ring that bell, because if you've gotten this far and you didn't realize, we're going to have some spoilers incoming.
Yeah, we're about to spoil the show. We have passed the statute of limitations. You should have seen it by now. What's your problem? Go see it. It's a great movie.
But just in case, we got to ring that bell.
So, Classic, since you chimed in first, what was your level of excitement going into Civil War?
Dude, I was like at geek level plus 9,000. My wife was tired of me. Mrs. Classic was really sick and tired of me before we even bought the tickets, before we sat down, because I was just so hyped. She was like, I don't even know if I want to see this movie because you were just like just ruining it. I was just like Spider-Man's, and I was like telling her the whole thing, everything I knew, and it was just amazing because similar to Avengers and all these other comic book movies, it's basically what you see on the printed page on screen, live action, and you know, and they're doing it right. And I was just beyond freaking excited.
So you basically spoiled it for her by telling her a bunch of stuff beforehand.
Yeah, there's stuff that she could have seen from all the trailers and teasers, but she, you know, it was just like, I don't know if it's spoiled or ruined, or I think I took some enjoyment out of it from her because she was fascinated by Ant-Man. The whole time she's like, I don't care about Ant-Man. When she saw how funny he was and, you know, what he did in the movie, she was curious, like, oh, you know, because she'd never seen Ant-Man. And that turned into a whole thing of, I think she's an Ant-Man fangirl now. You know, she's into Paul Rudd. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I did notice a lot of people people coming out of this were commenting how they need to go back and check out the first Ant-Man movie.
Yeah.
So maybe they'll see a spike in DVD or Blu-ray sales. Aaron, on your blackastronauts.com website, what was the build-up like with you and your co-hosts?
So this is one of the movies I have been looking forward to for quite a while. I'll say, like, you know when you see your presents at Christmas, like the day before, and then right. know they coming? You can't wait because you know they coming? That level, like, we're... I just saw him on the Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. I'm going to see him. You know what I'm saying? So I was already peak excitement. So very excited.
Okay. So it's probably a good bet that everyone on here was pretty excited to see the movie. Were there any reservations on anyone's side or maybe friends they took along with them that they had to maybe drag, kicking and screaming to go see?
Nah, I pretty much brought the choir with me. No need to.
Yeah, it was just me.
Yeah, who? That's another good question. So, Classic went with his wife. Yeah. I went solo. Roddy Cat and Agent 77 they went solo.
I went with the crew, actually.
Yeah, I went solo, though. Yeah.
I was sitting in between, like, people that were just fans, so we were spending time going like this. Did you see that? Did you see that? So it was pretty crazy. Go ahead, Will. What did you see it with?
I saw my friend Mike. He's my new, like, midnight viewing partner, because the wife has to stay with the baby, and she really wants to see the movie, too, but I was just like, peace out.
Shout out to sexism.
Oh, Will's gonna
give her a break and take her to one of those movies. Let Mike watch the baby.
He's responsible. Yeah. Yeah, but now you can go back and see it again with her. So you got
right.
We've of course just lost Will.
I know.
His wife got mad.
The connection. we messed up. This is a messy situation. I don't know.
Oh no.
The Click Nation is all about bringing families together.
And,
you know.
Oh, he's back.
Karma got me. I got kicked off right after.
We're joking. Your wife kicked you off.
Yeah, you got glued off the wife. Internet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Not tonight.
You're leading to the word Wi-Fi.
Oh, no.
Rim shot. There we go.
Try the view.
So how many of us had read the Civil War event series in the comics before seeing the movie?
A round of ayes.
Aye. Actually, I did not.
What? Wow.
Really?
Have you never read it?
I have never fully read it, because at the time Civil War came out, I was trade waiting. So yeah. I have a bunch of them back there, but I never actually read the whole thing. Like, I read bits and pieces of it.
I would say I don't think I've ever read it in its entirety. I've read, like, you know, the Spider-Man editions and the Avengers and, like, those titles, and, of course, the main series. But, like, certain things like, what was it, Battle Lines or something, or the one with Ben Urich and the Pulse or whatever.
Was it Frontline, I think?
Frontline, that's what it
Frontline,
was.
Frontline, yeah.
I might have caught a couple of issues of that, but it was, like, by that time, it was just overload, and it was, like, I was just collecting, and there was only so much of these spin-offs and the side series that you can pick up, you know, like, right. Before he showed up to battle and got shot in the chest, here's what Goliath was doing at home. You're like, I don't need to see all that.
Shout out to Bill Foster.
Yeah.
Real. Right.
So Marvel loved you picking up all the side series.
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't do that. It was, what, 178 different books or something crazy?
At the very least.
Yeah.
It's like I remember hearing someone complaining about not enjoying the Civil War comic that much because they had read all the side stuff and didn't enjoy them.
Yeah, and in some cases, if the issue didn't come out on time, then you had, like, the next issue spoiled by all the side things that happened.
Right.
The next thing you know, you see Spider-Man running from everybody, and you're like, wait a minute, I thought it was Team Iron Man. Oh, that issue didn't come out yet, you know?
Which is weird how some things don't change in that respect. But,
yeah, seriously.
All right, something we were talking about before we start recording was sort of opinions going into the movie, like, you know, were you Team Iron Man or Team Cap? I guess going around, start with you, Roddy. Whose side were you on to begin the movie?
Team Black Panther.
That wasn't an option.
Nope. That was an option. That's the only option.
I didn't see that hashtag on Twitter.
I did. It's there.
There's a Black Panther hashtag.
But out of the main two, though, it was Team Cap, even though, you know, despite everything that's actually happened in the comic side of it, I'm like, you know what? Hey, Team Cap. But that was kind of hard because it was like, well, shoot, Black Panther's on Team Iron Man, so I should do that. It's not going to happen. Yeah. So I split the difference.
I was Team Cap as well. How about you, Aaron?
I was a Team Iron Man, surprisingly.
Look at this.
It was weird, man. It felt like I didn't have my mind made up at first, but like when I went in and sat down, I more and more became like, yeah, Tony's right as hell. Cap is off the reservation, dog.
Yeah, we'll get into the, you know, what side were you on at the end of the movie.
Yeah, but at the beginning, I definitely was Team Iron Man.
Okay.
Because I had Black Panther as well.
Well, Will?
Yep. Went in as Team Iron Man. I was Team Iron Man in the comic, too. But they went too far with him by making, like, his side crazy in the comic with, like, Clone Thor and the 42 prison. But his principles are in the right place. They just kind of went too far with that.
Yeah.
Mm. Knowing your personality, I can see why you chose Team.
I'll take that as a compliment.
Let's see, Agent 70, what about you?
Team Cap, all the way.
Okay, of same course. Here. Classic, did we get yours?
You didn't. Even though I'm Spider-Man 200% and I love Black Panther, I was Team Cap. I think I've always been Team Cap. Even when the book was out, that's been my team. I'll tell you what did it, too. He had a speech at one point. In fact, in the movie, it was Sharon Carter was reading like words from her Aunt Peggy, and it was like basically the speech that Captain America gave to Spider-Man in like in one of the Civil War stories about, like, you know, the telling someone to move and saying back to them, "No, you move." That's kind of what Cap's stubbornness was to me. It was like, well, you know what? It's going against the grain, going against the government, and you need to do that. And, you know, I just like that from him.
I remember one thing, at least when the comic came out, I think that was during the time I had stopped reading comics, you know, monthly. Actually, I think I had stopped for a good couple of years because I'm pretty sure I was in college. But my brother, I think, was still buying the issue, so I kind of read them whenever I went over to his place. And I remember being surprised how Cap was against, you know, the government, seeing as how, you know, he's, you know, Mr. Soldier and all. And it was Iron Man that was for the registration. So I do like how they flipped it in the comics and for the movies as far as who would align with what line of thinking.
Right. But that's just it. Cap wasn't necessarily with the government. He was with the ideas of America, and that was kind of more his deal than actually because he's, you know, had issues with the government, you know, on a couple of different times.
Yeah. Okay. So we said whose side we were on going into the movies. Did by the end of the movie, did anyone's opinions change?
I'm going to say this. I felt sorry for Tony, for Iron Man, with the reveal near the end and everything. But my opinion didn't really change. It was like, well, that's too bad for you, dude. But, you know, it was similar to Batman v Superman, where it's like, okay, well, but why you stop fighting, though? You know, like, and the whole thing with the Martha thing, which we've beaten to death already. But I'm like, you know, Batman should just kill him anyway. But, you know, yeah, I think with you know, my sides and everything, it was still they were imprisoning heroes for no reason. They wanted that government oversight. And it was and it's basically, you know, heroes on the run to the point where people had to – all of them had to compromise what their position was by a certain point because they knew what they were doing was wrong, meaning, you know, trying to regulate and rein in superheroes. Yes, it was an accident. Yes, that happened. But, I mean, those things happen. You can't save everybody.
Yeah, I was just gonna say I'm gonna just piggyback on that. You know, my opinions didn't really change. We were talking before the show about how you know, they had teased what the fate of Howard Stark, you know, what the reasons of you know, what happened to Howard Stark, you know, how that might have tied into Hydra and the Winter Soldier. You know, that was definitely teased during the Winter Soldier movie, especially during that scene with Computer Zola. But, you know, my opinion didn't change even with that revelation kind of tying, you know, Tony Stark and the Winter Soldier together simply because, you know, I just, you know, I can't side on, you know, the over regulation of anybody's life, including superheroes.
The movie for me, I went in Team Cap. By the end, I flipped to the Team Iron Man, and not so much because of the registration, because I could care less about the heroes registering with the government. It was more of how Cap was a almost a traitor to Iron Man by not letting him know that his boy Bucky had killed Tony Stark's parents.
Absolutely.
Exactly. No. Exactly. Because I don't get how anybody could leave that movie Team Cap after that, because by that point
Black
in the
Widow
movie...
Too.
No,
she saw the same evidence.
By that point in the movie, it wasn't even about registration anymore. That's why I don't understand why Steve beat the living shit out of Iron Man, because he should have just been doing self-defense. He was on the offensive just to protect his butt boy Bucky when he really should have just been like...
We've gone way too far now.
He should have been like, I'm sorry, Tony, let's stop fighting. Instead, he beat the balls off of him and ran off with his friend.
After he shot Bucky's arm off.
Tony wasn't
that. That was the end of the fight, almost.
It was a fake arm.
He had a spare. That's Action Jackson.
I want this to happen. If y'all find out that somebody killed my family horrifically, and then I go save the world with you four times, I would appreciate if you told me at least who my parents were. Because every time I could die without knowing who killed my parents. You know what I'm saying?
But let's just put it in perspective, though. It was a video montage from Arnim Zola. He didn't really connect the two. It was like Winter Soldier Flash, and we sent out operatives, and this happened. And you saw the Howard Maria Stark article. You can make your assumption or inference from that, but they didn't know for sure. They suspected. He even asked him, did you know? He was like, kinda. You know, he didn't really say yeah, but he ended up admitting yeah. But it was like, I kind of knew. You know, they showed me a nice little video on the old Apple IIc before that shit blew up.
Exactly. But we just assume that that's it. We forget that they'd been looking for the Winter Soldier for 2 years. So Lord knows what they turned up. Like, I figure he found out in that gap. But I have one thing I want to bring up that, like, I'm curious if anybody else noticed. First of all, as rich as the Starks are, how come they had an old-ass Oldsmobile in 1991?
Cadillac.
And secondly, why were they driving themselves? Rich people don't drive themselves.
I think it was the fact that the cargo they were carrying, it was probably... And what did they see? Didn't he say it was, like, the last time they were going to see them or something like that?
What kind of statement was that? How did she know that it was going to be the last time they were together?
I think they were going to, like, you know, go on the run like Peter Parker's parents did.
I was going to say, I was about to bring that up. They turn into super spies like the Parkers.
Yeah. That would explain why she was there then, because that was going to be my next question. I was like, all right, it's like, why didn't just like Howard make a solo run or have like a SHIELD operative do it? But
or a life model decoy, he could have invented those.
Exactly.
When she said this is the last time you're going to see us, I thought that was just him, like the interaction, like the little video that he had going.
Right. It was part of his simulation.
It was a simulation.
Okay. HoloLens doing
that was for MIT.
Yeah, that was for MIT.
Damn, how come MIT get all the cool spoilers in previews?
Something I noticed on the second time seeing it was Howard Stark did recognize Bucky.
Yeah, he did. He looked at him like, oh, you.
Punching his face in.
Speaking of Howard Stark, I was kind of curious that they used that Howard Stark as opposed to the one we saw in like Agent Carter, but I kind of get why.
That's older Howard Stark. They used him in Ant-Man, too.
Yeah, and they used him. Yeah, he was the original Iron Man, too, so I was like, okay, I get that. Kind of. Yeah,
he's Howard Stark to me now. He used to be the dude for Mad Men.
Roger Sterling.
Yes, Sterling, but, he's Howard Stark forever. Him and Dominic Cooper, both of them are Howard Stark.
I compare it to, one of your books. One of your boys found out your girl was cheating on you and never told you.
Exactly.
Yeah, but just imagine that was your parents and he killed them.
Yeah.
So on that point, so my thing was he knew Bucky way. Yeah, him and Tony saved the world together and they got close to each other, but he knew Bucky pretty much all his life. I mean, that counts a little bit more for that. Now, that still doesn't excuse the fact that he shouldn't have told Tony, that he should have, he should have went ahead and told Tony at some point. I agree with that point, but I'm like, look, this is my brother more than this other dude that I just met after I got thawed out and, saved the world.
And then he lied the first time when he asked him.
Yeah, he lied.
But look at why they're on opposite sides to begin with. Iron Man is just guilt-ridden. That's all it is. Yeah, he can't blame him, right? Good, because he made Ultron when they told him you should have sit your ass down. Thor damn near choked him out in the Age of Ultron. That should have been enough to be like, oh, you know what? Fuck it, I'm sorry. You know, and he should have just backed off. But now it's like, you know, got Alfred Wood telling him, look, you killed my son and countless other sons, and all of a sudden Alfred Wood is the reason why Tony's just like, you know, Dudley Duke writing, like, you know, we got to get our shit together.
I think he was kind of like that before.
She's a great actress, mind you, but still, you know.
All she did was convince people not to take a gap year anymore. That's all that speech did.
Go to Miami or Las Vegas like Tony would have done.
Exactly.
Right. He could enjoy. I thought he did the house party. He did the house party protocol Iron Man 3. He should have house party out again and just be like, I'm out completely. Y'all just have fun doing what you're doing. I'm going to create some more innovation and some unlimited power supplies and chill with these arc reactors. He had Pepper going over here to chill.
Yeah,
he lost Pepper because he couldn't stop making Iron Man suits.
Yeah.
Come on, man. That's like if Mrs. Classic was like, I'm stepping out because you're making too many podcasts. I'd be like, well, you know what? House party. It's all going.
But you and Spider Dog left, right?
Yeah. Too many damn podcasts. I got to leave.
So what was our reaction to how they handled the story in the movie compared to the comic? Of course, it'd be a little different. Can't translate everything to the big screen, but were we satisfied with the story?
Yeah, they were like, they both had their merits. It wasn't like crazy guy has a Thor clone against Cap with the street level heroes. They were pretty well balanced, and they each had like fair arguments.
Yeah, for all intents and purposes, they kind of had the beats almost aligned with certain things. But I mean, obviously there was some stuff they couldn't do, and there was some stuff they weren't going to do.
Characters that weren't available as well. So
right,
it seemed like the only thing that was missing was the big like Stanford incident.
Well, that's what that first part
with Crossbones, though. That's what that was supposed to be.
The Nigeria explosion, and part of that with the New Warriors in the comic was they were doing like kind of, which makes no sense with New Warriors because they've been at it for years, but doing a rookie mistake of dealing with a villain and an explosion and like having that go off. In this case, Scarlet Witch, Wanda was still kind of a rookie because she's only been at it for about a year in terms of her powers. And Cap had an oversight, just made a bad move. And the combination of that turned into a bad decision where they were trying to save lives and inadvertently kill people. So they could still shoulder the responsibility and the blame for that. But it was like, oh, but we were trying to save lives. It's kind of like almost friendly fire just being, you know, incidental casualties or collateral damage that's going to happen. I like the parallel that was drawn from there, the reaction, and then of course the taking of sides, the battle. What I liked the most though, that was different, was the orchestration of the whole thing by Baron Zemo, or you know, he was Zemo, Helmet Zemo in the book or in the movie. I just like the fact that they added him as a villain. And he ended up making him responsible for everything and, like, pulling everything together. It was a different kind of Marvel villain and not, like, you know, he didn't put on, like, you know, whiplashes and start, like, you know, just whipping things and, like, you know, or whatever, and ended up becoming, like, Crimson Dynamo later on or something like that.
I want my bird.
Yes.
And plus they ain't kill him at the end.
Yeah, that's true. They did keep him around.
They left them open, so to come back and actually wear a costume. You know, that was the only thing. I was like, are we going to see him put on the furry, you know, thing and the mask and everything? Are we going to see that? You know, I was kind of disappointed when Batroc was in the last one and he didn't have on, like, you know, the curly Q mustache and the Wolverine mask. But, you know, I understand.
Right. At least he had some of the purple uniform.
At least he didn't have on no black leather. I'm done with black leather. You know, what's up, X-Men? The new black leather in 2016.
Don't go see the new X-Men movie then.
I'm embargoing the shit out of it. We got to send a message.
Let's talk about the new characters that we saw introduced into the MCU in order of appearance. First up, we had the Black Panther, T'Challa.
AKA Simba. Because King T'Chaka had to die to have him ascend to the throne.
I'm not sure how I felt about T'Chaka's death.
I wasn't crazy about that part. I'm gonna be, you know, and I've mentioned this in chat before. So I'm like, I forget they had already had Claw set up, you know, in Age of Ultron. I was like, okay, this clearly was going to be Claw's doing it, you know, some kind of way. And nope, that didn't happen. Unless we find out, you know, the bomb that went off is, you know, they got it from Claw or something like that. But I'm like, I was kind of hoping for at least that tie.
I agree.
Yeah, it was more he was used as a plot device to basically, you know, have the Black Panther have a reason for revenge to come after the Winter Soldier, you know, and it kind of cheapened it a little bit because you don't get a look into T'Chaka's like, you know, legacy and that he was a previous Black Panther or any of that. You know, it's just more so I'm the Black Panther now and I'm the king now. And, you know, he's got to know this everything through what T'Challa.
Right, or new, not even, hey, I met your father before, you know, when he beat my ass like many, many moons ago from Cap, but they said, we weren't going to get that.
Well, they said in the movie, they said that, you know, they had been still in the shadows for so long. This is the first time they had made a public appearance in years, so, like, I'm okay with that. Like, I don't mind the way they did it, because it's not like we can't always go back in the movie and get, like, some flashbacks about what's going on and things like that. Like,
yeah, like, I would think that would be good for a Black Panther solo movie. Like, you know, those flashbacks or those kickbacks to, like, earlier times in Wakanda. And, I like that you can save that for that. I also like the fact, too, that it really established him as a character in this movie. And, you know, they not only did they, like, have parts they told his story and, you know, showed his character, but he was more than just a couple of stunts. He was really, you know, a really fleshed out three-dimensional character in and out of costume. I think Chadwick Boseman did an excellent job portraying him, and you know, I see no disappointment whatsoever. I thought it was a perfect introduction of the hero to the MCU.
I like that he had a complete character arc.
Yeah, he definitely did.
All right, and then we also had Tom Holland as the new teenage Spider-Man, who has won his give him a round of applause.
Mm-hmm. I think it's almost safe to say that he's probably, if not the first or second best Spider-Man so far. I don't know if anybody agrees with that, but
people are saying he's the best, like, ever or so far. I don't know. I don't want to get in my head of myself, but I think I was the happiest seeing him because he was most like, you know, they went back to the teenage years, which was obvious. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone knew by now, okay, the Spider-Man teenage, but he really captured the fact that Peter Parker is a Queens boy, that he's the nerd, and that he's, like, awkward, you know, but that he's wisecracking under the costumes. Like, he captured all the great elements that make Spider-Man and Peter Parker great combined. It was like, Tobey Maguire was a great Peter Parker. Andrew Garfield was a great Spider-Man. But combine the two, and that's what you get with Tom Holland, in my opinion.
That's a good way.
Yeah, exactly.
Very good way to put it.
Yeah, and so he hit on all cylinders. And the fact that Tobey Maguire, like, went on Instagram or Twitter or whatever, gave his thumbs up, you know, kind of in his own way, to Tom Holland, kind of tells me that, and I'm lobbying for this. If they do the Spider-Man series of movies, Tobey Maguire's got to be one of the villains eventually. That would be so fucking cool.
I mean, Tobey had his three movies, so what else is he gonna do?
Have him come back as like Cletus Cassidy or Carnage or Kraven.
I mean, was he gonna do hate on the new kid?
Yeah, he's not gonna come back as Peter Parker.
He's two movies removed. Of course, he's gonna praise.
I'm about to say he could be a Spider-Clone.
He's too old to, you know, kind of want to come back himself unless they do Spider-Man at 40, which is, you know.
Hey, did you say that he would be Kraven the Hunter? He went Tobey Maguire.
Okay, maybe not Kraven the Hunter. I don't see him with the Russian mustache and the lion vest and everything.
I think I didn't hear that. I heard it.
Okay. Or Otto Octavius, or I don't know. There's a lot of Spider-Man villains he could be. Yeah. You know? He could be the Toad or something.
The Spy. The Toad.
He could be the Trapster. There you go. Paste Pot Pete. Break that out.
As cool as Spider-Man was, I did have, you know, I couldn't shake the feeling that he did seem like he was shoehorned in there.
Yeah.
At least how the introduction went. As far as including him in the big airport fight scene, that made it all the more fun having him there.
I got to give a shout out to io9.com. I go there a lot. I think it's io9 Gizmodo now. They combine the two. They pretty much explain at one point how Spider-Man got put in the movie. And it was that scene with Ant-Man, how Ant-Man ended up being like this huge, like became Giant Man. Spoiler. And then how Spider-Man was able to bring him down using that Empire Strikes Back method that he talked about. Remember that old ass movie, which was fun?
Yeah.
How old is this kid? Some of the funniest beats were Spider-Man and Ant-Man, you know, at various points in the movie. But it was like only Spider-Man could pull that off with the webs. Mm-hmm. And it was and the fact that he was fighting up against like so many different Marvel heroes on screen, and like the exchange he had with Falcon and Hawkeye was like just so fun and so cool, because it was a lot different than what we were seeing in Avengers. At this point, it was just like, right. Oh, fight, kick, punch. Why are you doing this? Leave me alone. Kick, punch. It was like he was just wise cracking his ass off, and it was just so brilliant. You know, it was a breath of fresh air for the franchise, I think.
I think it was a breath of fresh air for the movie at that point as well, because I think the movie had, to that point, been very heavy. There was a lot of drama. Right, there was a lot of drama, a lot of back and forth, because by that point we had already had the sitting around the table discussing the pros and cons of the Sokovia Accords. And then we get to this point where, Cap is breaking off and forming his own crew, and Iron Man is looking for reinforcements, and he has to go to Queens and has to chat with Peter's unusually attractive aunt. So, you know, I think that's what it – I think it came in – yeah, it did seem a little shoehorned, but at the same time, it was a nice I've heard it called – I was listening to Kevin Smith's Fat Man on Batman. It was called a nice little interlude. It was a Spider-Man interlude.
Yeah,
during the movie. So I thought that was a great way to put it.
You know, it showed the human side of Tony Stark in terms of him wanting to mentor this young kid and everything and bring him in, at the same time endangering his life. But it showed, like, okay, Tony Stark has a sensitive side and is really looking toward not just registering heroes, but, you know, cultivating, you know,
the future,
for superpower people.
Did anybody have that moment where they were like, wait, how did he even find out about this kid?
He's Tony Stark.
Right. Yeah. Dude hacks S.H.I.E.L.D. He has all S.H.I.E.L.D. files. On top of that, you know, the kid's got YouTube videos out the ass. And
he said it was on
So. Yeah, information age, you know, it's pretty easy to track somebody down, particularly, you know, if you triangulate, like, you know, whereabouts and he's Tony Stark.
Yeah. You got to just chalk it up to that.
Yeah.
So was the airport fight scene the best superhero throwdown in any comic book movie? Any objections to that?
You know, up until that point, I think the Ultron, the Avengers fighting all the Ultrons near the end of Age of Ultron would have taken it for me. And even that first, the battle of New York in Avengers.
Right. That would have been my vote.
Yeah, that would have been my vote, too. Ultron disappointed me.
I liked all the Ultrons. It was just seeing it like play out. It was like, oh, great. Now all the Ultrons are expendable, whereas, you know, first Ultron was a pain in the ass. Now they're just, like, wrecking them like they're, foot soldiers. You know, yeah. I think this did it because it was hero on hero. Everyone got to showcase their powers, their talents, and you got to see a lot of different. You got to see a lot of characters. Really step to the forefront. I thought Falcon was fantastic in this movie. Yep. The fact that he was riding alongside with Steve, at the same time he was his conscience over his shoulder, but he kind of didn't get too much in the way, and he spoke for a lot of the team, stepping up and standing up to a war machine, which was funny, the two of them arguing over the table. It was like the two of them were representing the two sides. It was like, yes, black men, come on, debate. And and just the fact that he had so many cool, funny moments throughout the movie with everybody. You know, it was Ant-Man, Winter Soldier, even freaking with Tony Stark in jail. That was kind of funny, too.
I like that it was Sam's idea to sacrifice themselves so Bucky and Cap could get away.
Right, which was probably going to happen anyway.
He's the one that came up with it. It wasn't, Cap was like, okay, Sam, what's the play? So.
Yeah, it's Sam shows true leadership and dedication. I mean, even when Rhodey got shot down, Sam turned around and like was right there. You know, Tony shot him in the chest for it, but
right,
it kind of shows the kind of person he is. You know, he's not going to leave a man down, and he knows he's in this fight to basically, you know, try to, you know, basically they're fighting for their survival. But at no point are they trying to kill each other. And I think he really gets everything that's going down, and I think he's going. I thought, okay, if they were gonna do the death of Cap, which was like a huge part of Civil War, the ending or after Civil War, a lot of people were kind of expecting that he would have been a great person to step up into the mantle of Captain America as he's doing in the comics now. But you know, I don't think Hollywood or the general movie going public would have been ready for that.
Well, plus he didn't want to go a solo movie anyway.
Oh, if he's gonna say what he needs to keep them checks rolling in. Anthony Mackie is not a smart dude. He don't want to start doing movies like Crossover with Wayne Brady again.
Oh no.
Wow. No, that's not happening anymore.
Long way away from 8 Mile.
Yeah, Papa Doc.
That's right.
She hate me.
Yeah, it was an amazing scene. I think it is the greatest comic books ever filmed on screen. And action wise, it's the greatest. The fact that you got Giant Man, you got Spider Man, and you got Black Panther all in the same panel. What a time to be alive, dog! Like,
yeah, agreed. Sure.
I like how they like to, they put out the trailers and photos and whatnot, and then when the movie actually begins and we see those same scenes again, they've added in the CGI characters.
Yeah.
Spidey being on their side running, we never saw that in any of the trailers. Same thing with Vision in Age of Ultron when they were protecting the whatever the thing was in the middle of the city. They added Vision in during the movie, but we never saw that him in the scenes during the trailers or anything. So,
yeah, to your point, this was a movie that didn't give everything away in the trailer. Like, you know, there's a lot of movies like that where you're like, oh, I see all this in the trailer. You got to connect the gaps and the dots in between all the bits from the trailers and the teasers and everything and really enjoy all the action. There was no way you were going to tell me that you saw the entire battle throughout trailers. You didn't. Whereas Batman vs. Superman, you saw, like, the high points in the trailers. By comparison, or some of these other movies out here, I'm sure X-Men, we've probably seen most of the movie Apocalypse in the trailers to great extent. But this was like something where you had to go see this movie to see it play out, you know, and they really left a lot of action, you know, kind of, they really gave us enough of a taste to want to get in the theater. I thought they did a great job there. The Russos were excellent putting this together.
I'll play devil's advocate just for a second and say one of the criticisms of the movie is that it's overstuffed. And I think that the trailers do a good job of teasing, but there's just so much of the movie that they can't help but not show, you know, they would be unable to show the entire movie. So there's that much left that still needs to be discovered in watching the movie. So, you know, that's, I think, one of the, you know, it's a pro and a con at the same time.
So who's to blame for what happened to Rhodey? Is it Vision's fault or is it Sam's fault for moving?
How is it his fault for Vision? How is it his fault for moving? He's not trying to get shot.
I'm trying to figure out what the end game of that would have been. If that had hit Falcon's jet thing or whatever, he would have fallen to his death. And
no, because Rhodey would have came after him. They would have rescued him or somehow.
He can't rescue War Machine.
It was Wanda's fault for distracting Vision. He was all like, I was distracted. I didn't know why. And it was like, you know why, dude. You had her in your arms and you was thinking about all them times like, oh, man, if I could only, you know. Dude was phasing into her room unannounced and unexpectedly. He had his clothes on at the time, and you know how quickly he can get them clothes off because he's the Vision. You know, he has a Vision's all right.
Vision.
Oh no.
Nah, I still say it's Vision just because he got caught up like that. He was like, I used to think about Wanda, but you know.
He went from booty calls to imprisoning her in the house. This was like a Jennifer Lopez movie or one of Lifetime movies playing out before our eyes. To imprisoning her in the house, to them fighting each other, you know, and she's like, I had enough. I'm gonna bury you underneath the mansion. There you go. I'm out. You're like, come on, man.
But see, that's why everybody looks at the big picture and not the small moments. The small moments in this movie support registration. They support the Accords. I mean, like, he gets so distracted by Scarlet Witch, he injures Rhodey like that. And then Cap has his whole Martha moment with Bucky in the beginning with Crossbones, and all those people died. It's like, there is an argument just because we like Cap and he's a good guy, there is a strong argument for the fact that they need to be reined in because they're easily distracted and people get hurt or die.
Well, reining doesn't stop them from being human like that.
Here's the thing with reining them in. The government is not on their own. Is not going to, they're basically going to be reacting to Crossbones having that terrorist attack happen with no kind of resistance whatsoever, you know, rather than them actually thwarting the attack, saving a lot more lives and maybe some collateral damage. You know, it's like if they had not showed up whatsoever, how would it have played out? The same with all the different times. Now, you can argue that, okay, these villains wouldn't even exist if not for Cap and for these Avengers, but I don't recall the Avengers being together when Loki brought the freaking all those, the aliens to Earth. He was just like, I'm bringing them to Earth because Earth is easy to take over. Then the Avengers had to get assembled. You know, so it's like a chicken or the egg type thing or paradox where you're like, well, you know, you're responsible for these villains coming in. Well, we're responsible for also thwarting these villains. And, you know, that's what you have to deal with because the world's a different place now.
Right.
Yep.
Okay, so what were our reactions to the both, I guess, the mid-credit and after-credit scenes?
Right, so we'll start with the mid-credit scene.
Which, of course, showed...
Oh, Wakanda, Black Panther, I'm here for it. I'm ready for that one.
Yeah. What I was going to add to that is, now Black Panther is Team Cap.
I think Black Panther is Team Black Panther.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, that as well.
Yeah.
That was that looked like the House of Elrond. He had them all like with everything. Bucky's all in the chamber, the hyperbaric thing. He probably got on some white linens and stuff, man. He's gonna be all like rested up and everything. And
I get people being excited for Wakanda and whatnot, but it's not like we actually saw Wakanda.
We saw a big panther statue and it was like boom. Yeah. That kind of stuck you in the face like there. But it looked paradisical, you know, paradise like and everything. And I want to see more of T'Challa's royal guard. She was about to throw it out with Wanda. Yes. And like, you don't want
weren't
that.
You looking for the other Dora Milaje, though?
Yes.
Yeah.
Everyone got all...
Well, hey, one was enough. And that's
everyone got an extra half at that scene.
Which was funny, because T'Challa said exactly what I was thinking at the time. I was like, you know, as exciting as this would be.
That's how we select them. You know, like, you know what? Y'all need to go at it. Let me check this out, you know. And, you know, I bet his pops didn't even have that rule, but he was like, now I'm in charge. Y'all need to go at it. And I'm gonna throw some jello. Like, oh, whoa! Wait a minute. Hey, that's the royal decree. We got to do it. You know, right. we gotta jump in the tub of jello.
You know, it's so funny because I was at a theater where, like, when I assume most of y'all already knew what Wakanda was. Nobody in the theater, obviously, is a comic book heads like that. For the most part, these are normal people, not crazy people like us, and they don't understand. So. I was sitting there looking at people like, y'all don't understand what this is. And they were just like, what is this? Like, I was like, y'all don't see all these black people right there? As soon as I saw that one black dude in the background working on a computer, I was like, oh, wow. And it's all futuristic. Yeah. Everybody around me was like, well, that was nice. I'm like, no. Let me sit you down and tell you why this is going to be awesome.
folks in my theater were like, woo! I was like, really? Come on, it need more than this now.
Yeah, I was so disappointed in that part.
Isn't it sad that's the world we live in, where we see a black dude on a computer and we're like, wow, futuristic African society!
Yeah, and he's not blind like Jordy LaForge.
Oh,
sorry, too soon.
So do we think that Bucky and possibly Cap will play a role in the Black Panther solo movie?
I had expected the Black Panther solo movie to be like, you know, flashbacks or to jump before, you know, he met the Avengers. But if they're going to continue the story in some form through Black Panther, I would say so. It might be cameos. I don't know if it's going to be cameos or something. I think they're going to kind of weave in and out.
Yeah,
past and present.
I'm thinking there might be an end credit thing. It was like, well, I'm going to throw them out because the Infinity War stuff is coming out, so we're going to need them out. Or we finally figured out what to do about them.
Or we built them a new arm. So.
Yeah. They built them a new arm, and guess what? Tony was like, you don't deserve that shield. Leave it. And then guess where Cap goes? The place where they got the metal to make more shields. He probably gonna come back with two big ass shields. Like, you know, I got my plug right here, so don't worry about it. You know what I'm saying?
Or he could get a hollow shield like Coulson has right now.
Yeah. Oh, look at that.
No one watches a TV show.
I got it on the DVR. I'm like three episodes behind, and I'm like, eh.
It's not. I know. Some people don't like the show, dog. It's real.
No, the show's still good.
It's always background noise for me.
It's better than Arrow, but let's not go there either.
No. All about that. All right. So
that was the
mid credit scene. So then the after credits. We got the tease for Spider-Man Homecoming, I suppose.
Let's say it was worth the wait. I sat through all them damn credits, every last one, read them all, Best Boy, Dolly Grip, Key, all that stuff. I was like, look, honey, look how many people worked on this movie. She's like, why are we not going home? I was like, you got to wait. No! You got to wait. It's a Marvel movie. You have to wait. And when he's talking to hot-ass Aunt May, who was on a different world as a freshman with Lisa Bonet. I mean, come on.
Yes.
Yeah. I had to put it in perspective. That's when I was like, okay, they are setting this up back at the apartment. And I knew it was something back at the apartment or something like that. And the reveal that it was a spider signal on his that was so cool. And the fact that it was all teched up with the Stark technology, and they had little it was like little tabs on there and apps and everything. He could probably send tweets at Spider-Man, like, you know, from his official Twitter account while he's like subduing villains. I just thought it was fantastic. Great teaser. I'm so excited for the Spider-Man movie. I just cannot fucking wait.
It's weird having young Aunt May, though, because now you realize that Uncle Ben was probably like Judd Nelson or something. Like, you have to age him down.
Yeah. Judge Reinhold, you mean.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Have you seen him lately?
I like how they kind of touched on Aunt May, because I think there was a line somewhere in there about, was like, well, you know, something about looking different.
Stark was all like, oh, I can't believe how young and hot your aunt looks. Yeah. And it was like, that's what I was thinking. That's the whole every whole theater's thinking that. Like, oh, we've seen the other Aunt Men. I mean, the other Aunt Mays.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I love Rosemary Harris so much, and Gidget, but, you know, it's just, it's like a regression eventually to young Aunt May now. Next Aunt May is going to be like
Rosemary Harris.
No.
Rosemary Harris could get it. It's okay.
Oh. Nightgown scene. Let's not bring that up. That is true fanboy curve right there.
And they had to make sure to remind us that Spider-Man will return. You know, this was a Captain America movie.
Yes.
I guess I got to be that guy. But I wish they would have flip-flopped him. Like, Spider-Man 1 didn't bother me. Like, to me, being a Black Panther fan, I was more excited to, if I had to wait, I would have waited, loved to wait for that. But the Spider-Man, like, I kind of knew it was coming. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, but it wasn't bad. Like, it was great, the signal and everything. But
yeah, we couldn't get a Black Panther will return as well?
Yeah, I would have loved that, like, at the end.
Really. 5 against 10 is probably because the Spidey movie is coming out beforehand.
We'll probably see it after, like, Thor or something.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
and that's them giving a little hand to a little rub to Sony, because I don't know if Sony made any money off of this movie, but they're gonna make a shitload off their movie. With Marvel at the helm, it's like everyone and their mother's gonna go see this Spider-Man movie, because like now they're finally gonna get it right. You know, it should be called, they call it Spider-Man Homecoming, they should call it Spider-Man, we are not gonna fuck this up this time. You know, because, you know, Bryan Singer is still in charge of X-Men, and apparently, you know, that's X-Men same old shit, different horse is what we're going to see coming up. So
classic, don't be that guy. You know, you're the Spider fan. They've gotten it right in the past.
They've got,
like, I hate hearing people
the
say
the Sandman killed Uncle
people
Ben.
People saying they're finally going
to
get it right.
Okay, look, Spider-Man 1, yes. Spider-Man 2, absolutely yes. Then you got to the dancing Peter Parker and the black suit, you know, and the jazz club, and they'll dig on this, and Uncle Ben got killed by the Sandman. Like, what are they doing? And then, you know, you got the remix with Social Network Spider-Man. Come on, dude. They've gotten parts of it right, but they've never got the full package together, and I think they really have a chance to do that. That's just my feeling.
Yeah. And a lot of people are now saying, you know, finally, Spider-Man done right. It's like, well, he wasn't really horrible before.
Right.
A lot of things around the movies might have been bad, but...
I'm still kind of like, well, we still need to wait and see, because we got every portrayal of Spider-Man that is good now, but we still don't know what that movie's gonna be.
That's true. Exactly. Because you look at the announcements for the casting and everything, then Zendaya's in it in some undisclosed role, and this one's in it in some undisclosed role, and, you know, so you're like, I don't know, is Zendaya gonna play Mary Jane, Felicia Hardy, Liz Out? Like, what's her deal, and how are people gonna take that?
Yo, if she played Felicia Hardy, I would be on Make a Mad Central. I would be so happy. It would just make everybody so mad, and I'm awful. So
get that money though. And you know, the great thing about Spider-Man is Tony Stark's going to be involved. You're no doubt going to see cameos from other Avengers throughout the movie or in some capacity, given his involvement in this movie. So I think it's going to be a lot better in that regard in terms of connecting the Marvel movies. Again, being able to do that. Whereas before, you couldn't do that. It was like, well, Spider-Man's fighting Electro in the city. It'd be cool if Iron Man could fly in and help out. But I guess that's not going to happen, you know, because it's all Sony, and Spider-Man's the only hero in this universe, and you're like, it's depressing.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, so overall impressions with the movie? Do we think this is one of Marvel's finest?
Yes.
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 Yeah, it's
absolutely.
I would venture to say it is the finest. That's just me, though.
What made it great was it was a cat movie, and it was an Avengers movie. Let's not get it wrong, but it was a cat movie first and foremost, and it centered around Cap and Bucky and Tony in that regard. But you know, you got to see some of the characters, but it was. But going and thinking it was a cat movie, you weren't like, oh, they didn't show enough of the Vision. They didn't show enough. You didn't have to see enough of the Vision. You just had to see the fact that he was in it because it's that universe. You know, I didn't want to see character development of the Vision and Scarlet Witch to the, you know, even further. But they gave us that anyway. Yeah, I think the Russos did a fantastic job with the storytelling.
Absolutely.
Who were your favorite characters? Your character, just one character. Will.
Tony.
Okay. Let's see, Roddy Cat.
Black Panther.
Aaron.
I gotta say Black Panther too.
Agent 70.
I'm gonna be contrarian and actually say, even though a lot of people kind of criticize him for having kind of a flat delivery, the Winter Soldier.
Oh, yeah. He was funny.
I felt like he had a lot, he made a lot of progress in this movie in terms of as a character. We learned a lot about where his thought process is right now, trying to recoup all the lost memories. So I thought that his performance was one of the real highlights.
And classic.
I said it before, I'll say it again. Falcon, I think, kind of ran away with this movie for me in terms of developing his personality, taking like on a leading role. And I was most impressed with him overall. Even his battle scenes, you know, the fact that he had the wings and everything and could use them in battle as shields, right. and Red Wing and everything. I think he was featured probably the most throughout the movie. Yeah, you got the big surprises of Black Panther and Spider-Man and everything, and I geeked out for all of that. But Falcon, to me, was the most solid character overall. And I felt so bad for Don Cheadle, War Machine. It was like, damn. And he looked so old in that movie. Was like,
yeah, he did.
I ain't coming back for this one. I was like, why don't y'all just kill him?
He looked conspicuously gray, didn't he?
He looked like an old-ass raisin.
He's like, I came off a set of House of Lies for this shit. I got to go back and talk to him. Can't give it Veronica Mars. This is too much bullshit for me right now.
So real quick, Classic, just to follow up on something that you mentioned about Falcon. I think the development of Falcon in the movie is kind of a consequence of, you know, making him a more realistic character with a more realistic set of equipment, mm-hmm. you know, as opposed to the old school, like, mini micro jets underneath the feathers. So, yeah. You know, they really capitalized on the fact that he has these, like, real metal wings, and they went from the original glider suit to something where it's almost like a little bit of Silverhawks thrown in with a little bit of, you know, other things where they really expanded on what Falcon can do, so he's not just the guy that kind of ferries people in and out of battle.
Yeah, and you could see the influence of the Stark tech and the fact that when, you know, Stark's footing the bill on the Avengers and he's like one of the newer Avengers on the team and everything. I like the fact that they gelled as a team like at the very beginning. Like you saw, okay, a year later, this was actually a pretty good Avengers team, except we see them right when they make that one mistake, you know, and then start to fall apart. I'm curious about the missions in between, and I'm sure that's going to be covered in some comic book form over the next few months. Like, how was this Avengers team, you know, doing in between the movies?
Was it weird to anyone that they kill people? Because, I mean, like, yeah, of course it's to be expected, but, like, in the New York incident, they just killed aliens, and then in Ultron, they killed Hydra, but they're Nazis. Nobody cares about them. But they're killing, like, mercenaries this time.
Yeah, that's the thing about Captain America. He's not like Daredevil, where he's like, no one dies, but at the same time, it's like he's fighting for America, and you kind of have to figure when he was killing Nazis back then, he wasn't just punching out Hitler. He was like punching out Hitler. He had a gun in his hand and was shooting people, too. Mm-hmm. I can see that. I can see it being like the fact that you're a government agent in some regard that you're going to eventually do that, but I didn't see the people killing people across the board. A guy like War Machine has got guns all over the place. Yeah, he's shooting people. I mean, there's no escaping that. And you know what? I wasn't surprised he wasn't brought in on that mission because he would have just, like, shot up everybody. And it had been, like, a big bloodbath massacre, and he wasn't the right person for that kind of mission, you know, within a populated area. You know, if there was, like, heavy ordnance or, like, tanks and shit, they'd be like, bring in the War Machine. Bam.
Plus, if he's still enlisted, then that also could have been terrible politically.
Could, yeah.
Because we don't know if he vacated his post or not.
That's a good point.
Right? I think he did, because wasn't he the Iron Patriot in the third Iron Man movie, and then he just kind of reverted back to War Machine, or I don't know at what point he reverted
back
to War Machine.
Yeah, he was Iron Patriot in Iron Man 3.
So yeah. I don't know when. And then right, we so last saw he was the president, so it was like, you know.
Well, right. No, like, but in Age of Ultron, he makes that appearance, and that's where we
did. Right. But that was like calling in a favor, you know? You didn't
exactly. Really get a
sense of, like, how, was he sitting at home with the War Machine suit, or did Tony, like, give him the coats to the mansion and said, hey, you know, just say hi to Pepper and get the suit and come out meet me.
I thought it was going to be Fury, you know, making a call like, hey, you kind of need to get on this mission, you know?
Yeah, that was my big question, was where the fuck was Fury in all this? But he kind of tends to come and go as he pleases. We're going to see him on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. at the season finale or something like that.
Yeah, we sort of won't see Fury until probably like the next Avengers movie or something. Yeah,
Ward's going to take over the Earth, and then Fury just crashes his helicarrier into him and is like, what?
I wouldn't be surprised if you don't see Fury for a good while. Yeah. Like, good while. Because, I mean, there's no need for him. There's no shield. So, you know, what can he really do?
Well, he put together the Avengers, and he gave him that pep talk at, you know, Hawkeye's house. By the way, I'm glad to see Hawkeye without his family. You know, just left the family at home. It was like, you know, but you kind of all thought right. About his family when he was in jail. It was like, kind of
right.
Weird. Yeah.
I never gave my favorite character, and I'll go along with Roddy Cad and Aaron and say Black Panther, just because of the possibilities for future appearances and movies and seeing more of him in action. So definitely looking forward to that. And that will just about wrap up our discussion for the Civil War recap. I want to thank everyone for being on the show tonight. Yay! Special thanks to Aaron from the Black Astronauts for joining us. Make sure to let everyone know where they can find you online, Aaron.
www.blackastronauts.com. That's where we're at.
Will, same with you.
www.williambrucewest.com or Twitter @WilliamBWest.
And Classic, let people know where to find you and all our podcasts.
Pull up your browser, whether it's Netscape Navigator or InfoSeek or web crawler. Go to http://CSPN.us. That's CSPN.us. You can find all of our shows, podcasts there. And, of course, we're on a variety of different podcast vehicles. You'll listen to all of our shows, including this very show and the Comic Book Chronicles each week by the Click Nation. Oh, and on Twitter, at CSPN Media and at Classic Materia, CLASSICKMATERIA.
And make sure to follow Roddy Cat at Roddy Cat and at
it's been real.
And Agent 70 is at Agent_70 on Twitter and on Instagram. I remember now.
Instagram. what you pulling up on Instagram? You got some fancy photos, comic covers? What's going on?
My weekly poll. My weekly poll is hashtag pay off your poll.
Okay.
And it's a PG poll, I hope. Go to theclicknation.com and you can follow me on Twitter @TimDodg98 and @CBCron. And with that, we will say good night. Thank you for watching/listening. See you next time.
Team Cap. Please. It's Dr. Peter.